First of all, I'd like to just read a little bit. You know, most of you know Kyle was on a missions trip last spring. And this is a newsletter from the couple that led the group he was with. And I just want to read a little bit of it. Poland, as you know, or most of you may know, is basically a very Catholic country. And, well, I'll read the... Our team has been very busy distributing the book to literally thousands of students, the book meaning the Book of Hope, which is the four Gospels in harmony. It's like a big tract. To literally thousands of students, we have stood back and been amazed at some of the things God is doing. It is amazing how the Book of Hope is being distributed here. All of our contacts are through the Catholic Church. The Book of Hope tried doing distributions a few years ago here in Poland, but were unsuccessful. The main reason for this is because every school here is controlled through the Catholic Church. So God has opened up incredible doors even in the last year here in Poland. Bob Hoskins, the founder of Book of Hope, actually had a meeting with the Pope, and he was so open to the work we were doing and signed a letter encouraging every director and priest from every school to let us in to do distributions. So needless to say, for the most part, we have had doors that have been wide open. So I don't know what you think about the Pope. It's irrelevant, really. God is in control. And he moved on the Pope's heart to make the gospel available to the children in the schools in Poland. Hallelujah. Could we stand while we sing? I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. All my grief has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempts me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will, all wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Hallelujah.
The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On the bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the
glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll
is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. All of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll
is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Hopefully we're marching.
Marching on in the light of God, marching on, I'm marching on, up the path that the Master trod, marching, marching on, a robe of white, a crown of gold, a harp, a home, a mansion fair, a victor's crown, a joy untold, are mine when I get there. Marching on through the host of sin, marching on, I am marching on. Victory's mine while a Christ within, marching, marching on. A robe of white, a crown of gold, a harp, a home, a joy untold, I'm mine when I get there. Marching on while the skeptics sneer, marching on, I am marching on. Perfect love casteth out all fear, marching, marching on. A robe of white, a crown of gold, a harp, a home, a mansion fair, a victor's palm, a joy untold, are mine when I get there. Marching on with the flag unfurled, marching on, I am marching on, preaching Christ to the dying world, marching, marching on. A robe of white, a crown of gold, a harp, a home, a mansion fair, a victor's palm, a joy untold, are mine when I get there. A robe of white, a crown of gold, a harp, a home, a mansion fair, a victor's palm, a joy untold, are mine when I get there. A robe of white, a crown of gold, a harp, a home, a mansion fair, a victor's palm, a joy untold, are mine when I get there. A robe of white, a crown of gold, a harp, a home, a mansion fair, a victor's palm, a joy untold, are mine when I get there.
One more time.
A robe of white, a crown of gold, a harp, a home, a mansion fair, a victor's crown, a joy untold, are mine when I get there.
Hallelujah.
Savior, hear my humble cry. While
Is that a sign of the lock-in on Friday night? There was a bunch of young people here last Friday night, so things are unplugged. Hallelujah.
Jesus, I am thirsty. Won't you come?
You're all I've ever needed. You're all I've
to take your place, to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way, bring me back to you.
To bring me home, bring me to you, God.
You're all.
Precious Spirit, hallelujah. Jesus, you are Jesus. Glorious Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you.
Jesus, name above all names. blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us.
Standing, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14, we will begin reading with verse 29. 2 Samuel chapter 14, and beginning reading with verse 29. 2 Samuel chapter 14, beginning with verse 29. Therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore he said unto his servants, See, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom unto his house and said unto him, Wherefore have thy servants set my field on fire? And Absalom answered Joab, Behold, I sent unto thee, saying, Come hither, that I may send thee to the king. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word today. I pray that in some way today you would call somebody to do something for you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Title of the message this morning is When God Sets Your Barley Fields on Fire. Absalom is the son of David. Joab is a nephew of David, and he's about the same age as David. Well, Absalom, the king's son, wants to talk to Joab, and he wants to send Joab to the king. He wants to send Joab to David. He calls for him, but he doesn't come. And he calls a second time, and he doesn't come. So Absalom burnt down his barley fields. That got his attention. He came to Absalom and he asked, Why did you burn down my barley fields? Why did you do such a thing? And the king's son says, Because we called you and you wouldn't come. The barley field is the thing that kept Joab from coming to the king. The barley fields in our life are things that keep us from coming to the king. They are things that keep us from coming to God. I'm glad that God called me as a young boy to come to Him. I'm not ashamed of the call of God in my life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the call of God on my life. Joab, however, didn't have time for the king. He was too busy with his barley fields. He didn't have time to answer the call of the king's son. He didn't have time to go see the king. Do you know that there are many people today who don't have time for the King of Glory? They don't have time for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Friend, you had better take time for the King. When God calls, you had better answer. You had better take time to be with the King. You had better take time to be holy. You had better take time to worship the King. You had better take time to serve the King. You had better take time to honor the King. You had better take time to talk to the King. Joab didn't take time. He just went out and he admired his barley field. And then the call came, "The king hath need of thee." And he replies, "Tell the king I'm not coming. Tell the king I'm not coming." And so his barley field was set on fire. Absalom thought, when we set his fields on fire, we won't have to go knocking at his door asking him to come. He'll come to us. Friend, when God sets your barley fields on fire, I won't have to stand up here begging you to come to Christ. I won't have to stand up here pleading with you to come to Jesus Christ and let him be the Savior of your life and let him fulfill his call on your life. I won't have to do that. You'll come. You say, "But I don't have a barley field." Everybody has some kind of barley field. Everybody has something that is important to them. And there are barley fields that you might have that are keeping you from coming to the King. And they are keeping you from coming to answer the call of the King and the call of God on your life. Everybody here has a barley field. Your barley field might be your spouse. Your barley field might be your children. Your barley field might be your health. Your barley field might be your job. But everybody has a barley field. I would like us to unlock the key to this man Joab this morning by looking at three things: the great call, the great refusal, and the great price. The great call, the great refusal, and the great price. First of all, the great call. The greatest call there is when a man receives from God a call to salvation. The greatest call there is when God deals with you about your sin. Remember that happy day when God dealt with you about your sin and you finally got to the place of surrender and how good you felt when you repented of those sins? That is a great call, the call to salvation. It's a joyous day when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and the need of a Savior. But when a man rejects that call, he's in for it. Remember Samuel? Remember the story of God calling Samuel? The name Samuel, by the way, means called of God. And here's Samuel sleeping at night when he hears a voice. He hears somebody calling his name, Samuel. Well, Samuel doesn't know who it is. He's just a child. He goes to the priest, Eli, and he says, "Eli, did you call me?" And he says to Samuel, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed, son." Samuel goes back to bed and he hears the voice again calling his name, "Samuel." And again, Samuel goes to the priest and he says, "Did you call me?" And the priest said, "No, I didn't call you, son." But he very wisely said, "Next time you hear the voice, next time you hear the call, answer, 'Lord, here am I. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears.'" And so Samuel went back to bed. And he was just laying there, and I'm sure that he was thinking, "Hurry up, Lord. Call me one more time. This time I'm listening. This time I'll answer and I'll respond." It's an honor when the Lord calls you. It's an honor when the Lord calls you on his telephone. And when God calls you, you had better pick up the phone and you had better answer. There are four ways that God calls men. At least four ways. First of all, through preaching. Through preaching. Some of you are going to be preachers. We need preachers. We need old-fashioned preachers. We need preaching that will stir people. You know that God has designed the foolishness of preaching to win the lost. John the Baptist came preaching. Paul charged his son Timothy to preach the word. Oh yes, some will have itching ears. Some will turn their hearts from the truth unto fables. But you be consistent and you uphold the word of God and you preach the word. We need preachers who love to preach. I'm amazed at the number of people that I meet, pastors who don't like to preach. We need preachers who love to preach and to open up and to share the word of God. Because preaching the word brings conviction on people's hearts. And I say we don't have near enough conviction today. We need preachers who will be faithful to preach the word of God. God calls through preaching. Sadly, today, some people just give out the word as information. But I like what D.L. Moody had to say. He said, the word was not given for information, but for transformation. The reason God wrote this Bible and gave it to us is so that it would change our lives. And preaching that brings conviction upon your sin will change your life. And so young people, if you are called to preach and proclaim the word of God, proclaim it faithfully. Preach the word. Don't preach man's opinions. Don't preach the philosophies of our day, but preach the word of God. Don't be ashamed of the calling. God calls people through preaching. How many of you were saved because somebody preached to you and you responded to that message, that sermon that was given? Aren't you glad that that man of God faithfully proclaimed the word of God that day? God designed the foolishness of preaching to reach the lost. And then God calls through prayer. How many of you here today are saved because somebody prayed for you? It's a privilege to pray for the lost. You know, I believe that I'm here today because of the prayers of a mother and a grandmother. And my grandmother in particular prayed for me within my earshot. She'd pray for me and she'd ask God to keep me out of trouble. And it seemed like she had an inroad to God that she knew what I was doing and when I was doing something that I wasn't supposed to do. And she'd pray about that thing. And I'd listen to her and I'd hear her. And I knew that she had the heart of God in the matter. And I'll tell you, it's hard to get lost when somebody's praying for you like that. We need to pray. It's a privilege to pray for people to be saved. And it's pretty hard not to answer the call of God when you know that people are praying for you on a consistent basis. Third way that God calls is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And some of these things overlap. They work together. Jesus said it was expedient. It was necessary for him to go away so that he could send the Holy Spirit. He could send the Comforter. Well, the Holy Spirit came. And he comforts, but he also convicts. And he convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. And it's a happy day when the Holy Spirit convicts you and holds up your sin in front of your eyes. And then he holds up the righteousness of God in front of you and you see yourself in the miserable state of sin. And then he holds up the judgment in front of you and you come to Jesus and you are glad that you came to Jesus. The Holy Spirit convicts. The Holy Spirit calls. The Holy Spirit draws. The Holy Spirit woos people to Christ. There was a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm. He was given a slingshot to play with in the woods. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit the target. Getting a little discouraged, he headed back to the house for dinner. As he was walking by, he saw his grandmother's pet duck. Just out of impulse, he let the rock fly. The guy that couldn't hit anything hit that duck square in the head and killed it. The little boy was shocked, first of all, that he would even hit the thing, but then he was grieved over what he had done. So in panic, he hid the dead duck in the woodpile, only to see his sister watching. His sister had seen the whole thing. Sally had seen it, but had said nothing. After lunch that day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Grandma, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today. Didn't you, Johnny?" And then she whispered to him, "Remember the duck." Later, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing. And Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help me make dinner." But Sally smiled and said, "Well, that's all right, because Johnny told me he wanted to help." And she whispered again, "Remember the duck." So Sally went fishing with Grandpa, and Johnny stayed home and helped Grandma with the meal. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's chores, he finally couldn't stand it any longer. He came to Grandma and confessed the whole thing. He came to Grandma and confessed that he was the one that had killed the duck. She knelt down, gave him a hug, and said, "Sweetheart, I know. You see, I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. But because I love you, I forgive you. But I was just wondering, how long would you let Sally make a slave of you? I don't know all of you and your past. I know, though, that Satan likes to throw sin up in our face. And I know that many people don't answer the call of God because of sin in their past life. They remember the duck, and Satan doesn't let them forget it. But whatever your sin might be, I want you to know something. Jesus Christ was at the window. He saw the whole thing anyway. And he says, because I love you, I forgive you. I forgive you of that thing, whatever it was, whatever sin you might be hanging on today, whatever guilt Satan keeps throwing up in your face, I want you to know that Jesus Christ forgives you of that thing. You are free to go on. You are free to answer the call of God upon your life. I just wonder how long you will let the enemy make a slave out of you. Those saved here today, aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit convicts of sin? And it's a great day when you get the conviction off of your chest, the burden off of your chest, and you let the Lord have his way with your life. Yes, God calls in many different ways. He calls through preaching. He calls through praying. He calls through the Holy Spirit. And he calls through providence. Providence. Providence is the everyday happenings in our lives. Sometimes things go wrong. Anything ever went wrong in your life? I got the right crowd here today. Sometimes things go wrong. God uses those times to bring us to him. The goodness of God leads to repentance. The goodness of God is anything that he chooses to bring us to himself. It might be a blessing in disguise. When it happens, you might not consider it a blessing. But later, as you unravel and unwrap it, you find that hidden in that happening was truly a blessing. Some people say, "Why did I wait and have to come to this hard place before I answered the call of God?" And I've known people like that. I've known people who've had the call of God in their life, but they resisted until they came to a hard place in their life. And then they finally gave in and they answered the call of God. And they usually say, "Why did I wait so long to answer the call of God? I'm glad I didn't wait. I'm glad I didn't wait until I was old and sick before getting saved. I'm glad that I didn't have to come to a hard place before receiving Christ." The providence of God is another way that God calls men. We have the great call. God calls in a number of different ways, but he calls. And then we have the great refusal. The great refusal. Joab ignored the call of the king's son. Can you imagine anybody ignoring the call of the king's son? Joab did. He refused the call. Men say no to God. There are people in this world, there may be people here today that say no to God's son. He calls them to come to the king and they respond no. They refuse the call. Men say no to God, they say no to the Holy Spirit. There are two kinds of people who can reject this call. There is the Christian. You know that everybody has at least one talent for God. Everybody has at least one talent. I felt the call to preach at a young age, but I didn't want to become a preacher. I thought all preachers were bald and fat. So I said, "No, God, I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to answer that call." And I said to God, "God, I'll do anything, but please don't make me preach." Finally, one day after my freshman year in college, I gave in and I said, God, I'll try on one condition. I'll try if you help me. You know that there are many people in the Bible who said no to God. Jonah said no to God and then later changed his mind. Moses tried to excuse himself. God said, Moses, I'll be with you. And you know, Jesus will always be with you. I found him to be faithful. If you answer the call of God in your life, whatever that call may be, to teach a Sunday school class, to serve as an usher, to be a deacon, to pastor a church, to be a missionary, Jesus will always be with you. He'll show himself faithful. Christian, don't say no to God. When God asks you to use your talent for him, don't say no to him. Don't refuse the call. You say, but I don't have any talents. Yes, you do. Everybody has a talent. The parable of the talents. There was the one guy that had only one talent, but he had a talent. Everybody has a talent. And anyway, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And you just answer the call of God on your life, and you will never, ever regret it. I've known a couple of Christian men who said no to God when he called them to preach. I never met such miserable people in all my life. One man grew up was in my home church as I was growing up. His daddy was a preacher. In fact, his dad went home to be with the Lord while he was preaching. God called his son into the ministry as well, but he refused the call. He said no to God. You know what? I never, ever saw that man smile in all my life. Another man I just, quote, happened to meet one day. I was working as a security guard, and actually I was just beginning in the ministry. I was working in a church, kind of like as a children's pastor and doing this and that, and I was discouraged. Yeah, but we struck up a conversation. I don't know why, but this man told me of his call to preach. And with tears streaming down his face, I'll never forget it, he turned to me and he said, I said no to God, and it was the worst decision I'd ever made. That sealed and that confirmed my resolve to fulfill the call of God in my life. He said, I tried to do many things. I tried to do a lot of things for God, but I am, of all men, most miserable. You see, he tried to make up his call by serving other ways, but he was miserable and he couldn't do it. And he said, I wish that I had answered the call of God in my life, but now it's too late. It's too late. Christian, you can say no to God. You can do it. I would advise against it, but you can say no to God. You can refuse his call. And the lost man can refuse the call of God. The unsaved man can say no to God. Interestingly, in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, and Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. There are people today, there are lost people that are saying, who is God that I should obey him? Who is the Lord? They had better make preparations to leave this world. And if you're here today and by some chance you're not saved and you're a lost man or a woman or young person or child here today and you've been saying no to God, you had better make preparations to leave the world. God's Spirit will not always strive with man. He will not always gently ask you to come. He may burn down your barley fields to get your attention. That is the great price. The great call, the great refusal, and the great price. There is a great price to pay when people ignore the call of God. Ignore God's call and you will pay the price. You will not always be able to ignore the Lord. And at some hearts today, he's knocking, and the question to you is, will you open up and will you let him in and will you answer the call? You will not regret it. I could stand up here today and tell you story after story of people that I know who ignored the call of God time and time again, and God set their barley fields on fire. A close friend of mine, when I was growing up, we all felt that he was called into the ministry. And I remember one day getting a call from his mother asking me to come and minister to him, because what had happened was God had set his barley field on fire. And when God sets your barley field on fire, you will pay a great price. I just want to tell you one story. I'm not going to take the time to tell you a lot of stories. I just want to tell you one. Roy had a boy named Sonny. One day the boy came to his daddy and asked him to play ball with him in the yard. Roy said, "Son, I'm tired today. Had a hard day at work, and I would just like to sit down and relax a while." So Roy sat down in his favorite chair, picked up the newspaper, and began to read the paper. Sonny said, "Dad, I don't care if you ever play ball with me again, but will you do one thing for me?" Roy said, "What's that, son?" He said, "Will you go to Sunday school with me on Sunday?" Roy said, "Son, that's your mom's responsibility. Your mom is the one that takes you to Sunday school and church." Sonny went outside to play ball. He's playing ball by himself. He's throwing the ball up in the air, and he's throwing it and running after it. And he accidentally threw the ball too far, and it landed in the road. Sonny went out to get the ball. And as he went out to get the ball, a couple of young men came racing down the highway. Later, it was estimated that they were traveling between 80 and 85 miles an hour. They slammed on the brakes. They tried to avoid hitting the boy, but they couldn't. And Roy looked out his window just in time to see his son get flipped up in the air by the car and land on the other side of the road. Roy ran out there to see his son, to see if there was anything he could do to save his son, to help his son. And he gathered his son in his arms, who was barely still alive. And Roy said, "Son, is there anything that I can do for you?" And Sonny said, "Dad, yes, you can. You can go to church. You can go to Sunday school next Sunday." And the little boy died in his daddy's arms. A few days later, Roy was found at the gravesite of his son. He was kneeling down. He had his Bible clenched to his chest. And he said, "Oh God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be." God has set his barley fields on fire. He'd ignored the call of God again and again and again. And finally, God, with no other recourse, had to set his barley fields on fire. And if you're here today and you have refused the call of God, there will come a time in your life, if God sets those barley fields on fire, you will wish a million times that you had answered the call of God. I'm a believer that God is calling some of you today. He's calling you to do something. He's calling you to get saved. He's calling you to use your talent, your ability. He might be calling you to become a missionary or a preacher today. He might be calling you to do something, but he's calling us to do something for him. Will you answer the call? Or will he have to set your barley field on fire? Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? The King wants to see you. The King wants to see you. The King's Son is coming to you, and he's saying the King wants to have an audience with you. The King wants to see you. Will you answer the call? Gail, could you play softly and tenderly, "Jesus is calling"? How many are here today? And you know that God is calling you to do something. He's calling you to get saved. He's calling you to use your talents, your abilities. He's calling you to do something. You don't want to refuse that call today. The price is too great. The price is too great to refuse the call. There is a great calling that is being placed on your life. A great calling. God has a calling for all of us. There is a great calling. If you refuse him, it'll be a tragedy. Don't take part in the great refusal so that you have to pay the great price. If you are here today and you believe that God is calling you to something, to do something, would you just stand right where you're at? Would you stand? You're standing, you're saying, "God, I'm answering the call. I'm answering your call in my life. I hear the great call. I will not refuse. I don't want to have to pay the great price.
Praise the Lord.
Lord, we thank you for those that are standing here today. Thank you for the call that you have placed on them. Thank you, Lord, for not the great refusal, but the great dedication and commitment that they are offering you this morning. Lord, I pray that you would qualify each of these that you have called. Lord, that you would anoint them with your Holy Spirit, that they would be effective for you and for the cause of Christ. Lord, continue to speak to them. Continue to call them and to bless them that they might be a blessing in your kingdom. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we sing one verse of Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling? 337. Let's all stand. Let's join those that are standing.